God has given all of us a mission to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God. We want our church to be a launch pad for sending people out on the mission God has for them. Regardless of who you are, we all have a role to play. We are all involved in God's story. We pray that the story shared through Mission Control will encourage you to see how God is calling you to be used by Him. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Mission Control Podcast. My name is Amanda, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. Today I'm sitting down with Aaron Copeland. Aaron serves bivocationally as the Associate Pastor of Christ Community Church located in Palm Bay, Florida, which is First Baptist Melbourne's first church plant of our Launch 10X initiative. In our conversation today, Aaron shares about how his hunger for studying the Word of God led him to seminary, and how God fostered that love of His Word into a passion for teaching others how to study God's Word. If you've ever felt God stirring something in your heart, but you can't see how God can work together the pieces, I hope you will find Aaron's story of God's faithfulness to provide the right people and opportunities at the right time to be a huge source of encouragement. Before we get started, I just wanted to remind you to share this episode with anyone who could use a supercharged dose of encouragement to live out the mission God has for their life. While you're at it, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any new episodes. So we have a fun little icebreaker question that we've been doing that's space themed. In the last episode, we had Martha Root. And I asked, we had a little like trivia game show of different space moments she's witnessed because she's been on the Space Coast the entire time that space has been doing things.
Okay.
So for you, I thought maybe we would do a fun, if you could go back in time and witness any historic space moment, what historic space moment would you want to witness?
I'd say probably the one where the man landed on the moon. Right? I mean, that's the big one.
I think that would be my big one, too.
Yeah.
That's a big moment.
It's a big step.
It is a big step.
Yeah.
Now they're trying to go to Mars. That's a big step.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah. That's going to take a lot of time to get people acclimated to that type of travel, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Aaron, where does God currently have you on mission in your life?
Well, right now, Cody and I have planted a church, Christ Community Church of South Brevard. Mm-hmm. And so we're very busy with that, getting it on its feet. We're already running pretty good. It's a great family. God has first gotten us through the stage where we proved ourselves out by showing love for one another. And there's a lot of sicknesses, a lot of things where there's a lot of opportunities for our family to take care of each other. And they've been doing that really good at our church. So we're really happy with that. And now we're trying to take that love that we have for one another and extend that out to our community now.
Gotcha. What's your role at Christ Community?
So I'm the associate pastor. So some of the things I do is I oversee the finances. I'm in charge of like a lot of the discipleship. I oversee the life groups that we have, which is kind of like small groups. Mm-hmm. I oversee other classes. We're trying to raise up the people in our church that are leading or overseeing different ministries in the church. So we have different things going on with them, teaching them different classes. Right now, we're doing a study on the Trinity together.
Okay.
So we're studying our theology. We're studying how to handle the Bible. And then we're doing different things together so that we can share with what it means to lead ministries, to problem-solve ministries, and things of that nature.
Oh, that's cool. And you're also bivocational. So what is your other job? What keeps you busy too?
Yeah, so my day job is I'm a RF engineer.
Okay.
So I basically design anything that's wireless, whether it's a transmitter or receiver. So I do that by day. And lately it's been in the evenings too.
Okay.
And so it's a lot of juggling to support myself and my family.
Yeah.
And then being a pastor with this church, which is also demanding because there's needs throughout the day there as well, too. So
Yeah. So how did you kind of get to where you are now? At what point did God start stirring in your life, going with a church plant, working in ministry, juggling two jobs?
Right. Well, the first one was, you know, I had gone a long time in my Christian life just being very immature, having no knowledge about what I was supposed to be doing, didn't understand what the church really was all about. Once I got committed into a really good Bible teaching church, then I started getting the meat. And once I got a taste of that meat, I didn't want to let go. And so I started really exploring the Bible. I would stay up all night studying different things. I just couldn't put it down. I was so excited to be studying it. And that went on for a number of years. And then after that, I thought, well, I really don't know where to go. I kind of reached the end of what my capabilities are to study God's Word. And so then I went to seminary.
Okay.
And it was in seminary that, you know, I'm pretty dumb and slow. And so God recognizes that. And he put this bug in my ear that, you know what, all this learning you're doing is not just for you.
Yeah.
It can't ever be just for you. Yeah. This has to go out to other people as well. So then I started thinking about teaching and I started getting involved in that. I never thought I'd be a pastor. Never wanted to be. Okay. I knew the accountability aspects of it scared me.
Gotcha.
You know, and but as I grew and as I learned, it just became a natural path. I could see where God was guiding me, and I could look back and I could see the direction that path was going. And so I got out of seminary, and after that, me and my wife started talking about church planning.
Okay.
And then we ended up at First Baptist and found out, well, they're raising people up to be involved in church planning. So God put us right where we needed to be for that.
When did you come to First Baptist Melbourne?
That was in... Let me try to think if I can remember. That was in 20... Oh, my goodness. I've been so busy.
It starts in the 20.
It starts with the 20. The time just kind of just all melds into one long thing. So,
fair.
Yeah. I don't remember.
Was Pastor Scott the pastor here?
It was the year... It was right about 6 months before they started... The church planning program.
Okay, so...
What was that?
Like 2017, maybe?
That sounds right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that would be right.
So it
yeah.
was right around the same time
It was
time
6 months. I had told the church I was going to previously what we thought God was guiding us to do. And talked to the deacons, and they were on board with it and sent us off to go to another church where I could get trained, but we didn't know what church. So we started here. We had a meeting with Pastor Scott, and we sat in his office and told him what we thought God was laying on our hearts and that we're looking for a pastor at a church that can teach us things. I mean, I didn't even know what questions to ask, let alone looking for answers, you know?
Yeah.
And so Scott said, wasn't that something? Because in 6 months, we're going to be starting this church planning ministry.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so me and my wife were the first ones to come knocking on the door for that. And we joined the church here. We loved it. And just all the support that we've got from First Baptist has been absolutely amazing.
I think that's a cool thing about all of these stories that I have the privilege to kind of sit down through the Mission Control podcast and talk through how much God is orchestrating behind the scenes in preparation for things that we are very unaware of.
Right.
And then just the confirmation that comes in when you do speak about it. So hearing that from your story is cool too.
Right. And I need that because I need that whole thing of, you know, the way God, you know, he does things for a while and behind the scenes that you don't know what's happening. And sometimes when you're on that path, you know, it seemed like the training would be endless. I mean, I trained for years and years, you know, and it's like, when does the training start and stop and I actually get in the battle, you know? And not knowing, like, is this my idea of church planning or was this God's?
Yes.
And I look behind me, I look down that path and I'm like, man, it really seems God has brought me and my wife to this point.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that because there's things there that he did that I just wasn't in my abilities, you know?
Yeah.
And so there was some times where you're like, well, I don't know, maybe it's just me. But that confirmation, when he shows it,
when you see
it's
someone
undeniable.
Who's completely isolated from you and you're thinking, like in this case, you just came to Scott and you're like, I don't know, this is kind of what God is in my heart. And Scott's like, well, that's interesting because it's very validating. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Absolutely.
So what year did Christ Community plant?
So that was just a year and a half ago.
Okay, so that would be 2022?
2022, yeah. So Easter Sunday was our first Sunday of last year.
Nice.
And so before that, We would meet right here at the church. You know, we had the team that was planning with us, and we did training things. We did fellowship things together.
Yeah.
And it was pretty amazing how God would bring, every time we had a big hole, a big need, God would bring somebody with a gift to fill that hole.
That's cool.
And that just kept happening over time. Even after the church was planted, we would have these needs, and all of a sudden someone new would come to our church who would have whatever ability it was that we were looking for, you know. So
yeah.
So God's really been miraculous in how he's brought this church up.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So before we started recording, you were talking about a class that you led here at the church. Kind of what inspired you to start that, and what was, can you talk about that class a little bit?
Yeah, I think, you know, teaching a class, there needs to be some kind of burden that God's placing on your heart, right? And it's not just, I'm going to go teach some generic thing, you know?
Yeah.
And my burden really is the need for people to understand that Christian growth primarily comes from hearing God through his word. And I think there's a lot of confusion in our church in the West today that there's all these books and libraries and things like that that they can look up about all these 40 ways of growing and all these other different things, right?
Yeah.
And we've kind of lost the idea that, you know, in John 17, you know, Jesus says, sanctify them by their word, by your word. Your word is truth, you know? And so sanctification needs to come about by the word. And my thing is, I looked back at how I had taught, and I was basically, how I'd previously taught was spoon-feeding people God's word.
Okay.
And so I had realized, you know, and I expressed how they need to be in God's word every day. But that's kind of like telling someone, hey, you go to the gym and work out, even though you don't know how to use the machines.
Yeah.
You go do all that.
Yeah.
And then we'll meet once a week and talk about it.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, let's have a class where we spend 3 years going through God's word. And of course, you know, your reading plan here at the church inspired me with that. There's 2 years in the Old Testament, 1 year in the New. And then let's go through that together. Let's learn how to handle God's word together.
Uh-huh.
Let's see what it means to be able to be together and be able to, throughout the week, ask each other questions of things we don't understand.
Yeah.
You know? And so that was kind of my burden, is to get people to grow in their faith by being in God's word, but not on your own. We're going to do this together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the reception like for that?
It was pretty good. We have people that were very faithful and being a part of that.
Okay.
And so people that had never read the Bible through before had done it for the first time. And so, I mean, that's always excellent.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I read through the Bible was really when my eyes were opened about who God was and how he works with the world, and specifically how he works with me.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
So when you went to seminary, you said that you didn't really think you had a desire to be a pastor. What was it, just a desire to learn more that kind of took you to seminary, or were you feeling some sort of call to ministry in your life?
No, it was absolutely my desire to learn more.
Okay.
I couldn't get enough of the Bible. I loved it. I loved studying it. I was that guy in speech class in high school that made you cringe because he was so shy and embarrassed to talk in front of anybody.
Yeah.
I was that guy, you know? I made myself cringe. And I remember the first time I taught, when I did teach, the first time I taught, this gentleman had kind of brought me up under him, and he said, you're going to teach 1 week, I'll teach 1 week.
Okay.
And I remember my first time teaching, I had like, I don't know.
Was this before or after seminary?
This is after seminary.
Okay, okay, okay.
Right? And I still hadn't thought that I was going to be teaching, right?
Yeah.
But I'd already got it, already kind of impressed these thoughts on me that this needs to be for other people.
Gotcha.
You know, so I really didn't feel like I had a call. It was more of just, I got to do this out of duty.
Okay.
You know, and so, you know, I'm teaching. So I get up to teach. I got a 10 pages of notes for like 45 minutes of teaching. And it's all manuscript form. And, you know, and I get up, and it's the biggest class in the church. And it's older people that are going to be more mature than
me. Was this church here?
No.
It was a different church. Okay.
Yeah. And I got up, and so I start teaching, and I'm ripping through my notes, and I stop and I ask what I think is a good question, and nothing. It's just crickets, you know? And I'm like, oh no. Okay. So I give them the answer and I keep going. I ask another question, crickets. I give them the answer. I keep going. Next thing I know, I'm looking down, and I got a half page left. and I'm only like 10 minutes into the class, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh no, how do I stretch this out another 35 minutes? So I couldn't. I went 5 more minutes and I was like, all right, I'm done. You know, then the other teacher got up and he goes, okay, well, any questions? You know, and I ran out of the class, right? And I said, I'm never going to do that again. And then he actually came and hunted me down and he said, okay, next week you're going to do it again.
Okay.
And I said, absolutely not. There's no way. I'm not that guy. I can't talk in front of anybody.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, you know what you're talking about when it comes to the Bible. The problem is your notes. Let's get rid of all your notes. I'm going to give you a note card.
Okay.
And you're allowed to write 4 bullet points on it. And I'm going to check it before you get up.
Okay.
And so I'm like, absolutely not.
You're like, I was already intimidated with my notes.
Yeah. What do I do? Right?
Yeah.
And so so I did it. And I ran out of time. I couldn't even finish everything, right? And everyone was engaged. And I was like, wow, I'm fixed. You know, and so from that point on, it's like God gave me confidence that I could do this, and I've been running. And so then they gave me my own class. And really when I started realizing that I was being called to something higher was I had so many problems, or I guess we should call them issues, right? Not problems. So we had so many issues in the class with different people. There's a lot of fighting going on. And so I found myself having to do a lot of problem solving. So I'm pacing in my living room a lot, wearing holes in my carpet and praying. And and God taught me how to problem solve is just lean on Him. Keep praying, keep thinking about the people, keep ministering to them.
Yeah.
And I at the beginning, I was like, God, why, if I'm going to be teaching in class, why am I teaching in class under these difficulties, under all this strain?
Yeah. You
know? And then it started coming to me that He's preparing me to serve people better.
Yeah.
And knowing how to get around problems and things like that. That's when it was apparent to me and my wife that God has a plan of a bigger ministry.
That's awesome.
For us, yeah.
I think it's really cool that other man who came alongside you and saw that potential in you and was willing to walk alongside you, give you the feedback and press into you. That's awesome.
Absolutely, yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
So how did you come to faith in Christ?
So I came to faith in Christ. My dad came in my room when I was 9. And, you know, our family went to church 3 times a week, Sunday morning and evening and Wednesday evening. And,
okay. So you were born and raised in a very strong Christian home, it sounds like.
Yeah, I thought. And so my dad came into my room and he said, hey, if a plane comes and crashes in your room right now and kills you, are you going to go to heaven or hell? I'm like,
very specific.
Yeah. I'm like, wow. Yeah, it's very aggressive, right? So I was like, wow, I don't know. Never thought about that, you know? Yeah. And, you know, at that point, I never accepted Jesus, but I'd never denied him either, you know? And so I just never thought about it. And now I'm thinking about it. And so my dad said, well, where do you want to go? I said, well, I want to go to heaven. He said, why? I said, I want to be with Jesus, you know? And so then, you know, we prayed together and I gave my life to the Lord when I was 9.
Uh-huh.
I never grew as a Christian much at all after that.
Uh-huh.
And I found out years later in 2011, I found out my dad was not a believer.
Oh, interesting.
And so it made a lot of sense of why, you know, there wasn't much Christian growth in our home.
Gotcha.
And it was at that point that I led him to the Lord.
Oh, hey, that's cool.
Yeah. So we led each other to the Lord. So that was awesome. Pretty cool.
That's
yeah.
awesome. Have you been in the Melbourne area much of your life, or are you fairly new here?
I got here in 2004.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm from Illinois originally.
Okay.
So I grew up, that was my briar patch, and then I moved over to New Jersey for 4 years, and I was trying to escape New Jersey.
Okay.
And I was trying to go back home.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
To come to Florida.
right.
It's very popular track.
I never wanted to come to Florida, though. You know, I wanted to go back to the Midwest, but for what I do, there's lots of jobs down here, so I came down here, and and the rest is history.
Sure. Right. Well, that's cool. As you look back, where do you see obvious places of God's direction?
I think just the churches that I've been a part of, learning, you know, it, going to churches, I, you know, up in New Jersey, I'd been out of church for so long and I was looking to get in a church up there. I was living by myself. I didn't know anyone there. So I was looking to get plugged into a church and get my life right with God. And, you know, in New Jersey, all I was finding is either synagogues or cathedrals, you know, and there wasn't much in the way of, you know, like Baptist churches or anything like that. And then probably the only other Christian believer that I worked with said that he went to a Calvary Chapel in Old Bridge, New Jersey.
Okay.
And so that was like an hour, hour and a half drive away.
Wow. Okay.
But I went.
That's a commitment.
Yeah. And I went and it was like, I never knew of this thing where they actually preached through the Bible.
Okay.
You know, expository preaching.
So and, what was your, what kind of churches had you grown up in then?
Yeah, they were Baptist churches, independent Baptist churches.
Gotcha.
Very topical.
Gotcha.
And
gotcha,
how they handled the preaching.
Okay.
So there wasn't much scripture involved in the ones I went to. And I always thought there's got to be more scripture. If this is the book we believe in, there's got to be more to it, right?
Yeah.
And so I went to this church and I was like, wow, we just went through a whole chapter of the Bible.
Yeah.
And then the next Sunday we went through the next chapter and the next, you know. And so that, I think that was the biggest influence, was the preaching of God's word with integrity, you know. And so then when I moved down here, I lived right next to the Calvary Chapel down here. So I continued on.
Okay.
And eventually, you know, there was some differences in as I studied God's word and my theology a little bit. So me and my wife found another church that we had gone to.
Gotcha.
And it was that was the church that sent us to go get teaching for church planting.
Okay.
So I think just good, sound, biblically based churches that were bent on making disciples, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What roadblocks have you faced in ministry so far, and how has God used them?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Right?
I didn't see that on the list.
I don't remember what was on the list.
Okay. See, roadblocks. Well, I mean, there were things that we were exploring, like, you know, especially when I got out of seminary and got into teaching, and we saw that God is doing something with us. He's taking us some direction.
Yeah.
You know, that's exciting, but it's also, then we start imagining, well, maybe it's this, and maybe it's that, and maybe it's that. So we were our own roadblock probably to begin with.
I can relate to that so much.
Yeah, because and that's the thing, right? It's kind of like King David taking the census.
Yeah.
Now that I got all this and I see that I'm in charge of all this, I can do these things. And, you know, we weren't trying to be prideful, but we were kind of getting in the way.
Yeah.
You know, so that was probably the first one, you know. But God is very gracious to us in those things. And so he calmed us back down. You know, the other roadblocks, I got to say, is not so much things outside of ourselves as much as it was us and just things we needed to learn. You know, me and my wife, we play classical guitar together.
Okay.
And the way you learn classically is, you know, you don't just start by learning these big pieces, right? Maybe you get in the piece, you learn a hurdle in the piece. And then you get out. So you jump in, you overcome a hurdle, and then you get back out and move on to the next thing, right? And I think that's kind of what God did with us. You know, there were hurdles in our lives that we needed to get past and that before we can move on to the next thing. So yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
What excites you about Launch 10X and the whole vision of planting 10 churches and raising up 100 ministers and missionaries? 1,000 leaders, 10,000 disciples. What excites you about that?
Just making disciples and doing it within the church.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that also gets people excited about what the church is about. You know, I think that there's a lot of Christianity today, a lot of people that, and it's not necessarily their fault. You know, a lot of people aren't being taught correctly about the church and what the church is about. But really, you know, there's so many ministries outside the church that are doing great things. But I think sometimes it gets lost on us that the church is the only organism created by God to make disciples.
Yeah.
And so when you're saying all those things, my mind just kind of whirls around because it's all about planting churches and all this disciple making is happening through the churches. And so, you know, the church is not getting distracted by doing other kinds of ministries. They're keeping the main thing, and that's making disciples.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to be doing. And so I get excited because it's not just this linear way of making disciples. It's going exponential, you know, and to think that this church is so, you know, talking about First Baptist, is so well grounded in that mission to carry on something that's been going on for 2,000 years. I mean, that's really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What advice or encouragement would you have for someone who's trying to explore and discern what God has for them in their current season of life, whether that be vocational ministry or just living out on mission?
Yeah, so I would say there's a couple things there. Is one is you need to be in God's word every day. You need to listen to him so you know what to pray.
Yeah.
And so that you'll be compelled into his doing daily. The next thing is you need to be highly involved in your church. And if you're not involved, just start somewhere. Start somewhere that sounds interesting to you, that perks your ears up. Go talk to people. Go talk to the pastors of where you can get involved. You know, I would say that it's more important that you get involved and build those natural relationships where people can help bring you up and disciple you.
Yeah.
And not only that, but, you know, it's the people in the church that are going to, I say this in quotes, ordain you in what your gift is.
Yeah.
They're going to recognize what your gift is, probably more accurately in what you're going to recognize.
Fair.
And getting that feedback is absolutely essential. And so understanding what it means to not just be a church member, but to submit yourself to the church in that capacity is really huge.
Yeah.
So outside of those two things, I think that's all you need, you know, the scriptures and the church to do that.
Yeah.
So.
And kind of piggybacking on what you're saying about getting involved in the church, I think feedback I hear from people, especially in a large church context like First Baptist Melbourne, it's easy to get lost and figure out where you could fit in. And so if you're listening to this and you're feeling that lostness, going to our website or reading any of the communication that goes out, we have a whole ministries page talking to people, asking. There's so many different places to engage, whether it's through a church plant or whether it's through different ministries. So going out and doing it
is
huge.
And I would say a natural on-ramp to all that is, you know, First Baptist has a lot of life groups and a lot of geographical locations and also different cultural settings. There's different people in different phases of life that meet together.
Yeah.
And that's a great place to start building the relationships where you can actually open your life up to one another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What excites you about the future of Christ Community?
I think just the unknown of the future, but how solid and rooted our past is with how God has brought us along. You know, it's kind of like when you read the Old Testament, you know, every time God addresses Israel through a prophet, you know, he says, I am the Lord your God. Get to know me.
Yeah.
I'm the one who led you out of Israel and brought you through this and through that, right?
Yeah.
And if you keep your faith in me, it's going to go well with you in the future.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so right now, that's kind of it, is we look back in our past and we get to know God better from what he's done with us. When our current situation seems hard, because there's a lot of hard things we're dealing with, Palm Bay's really hard soil to till.
Yeah.
And there are times where we kind of get let down. But we look back and we're like, well, God really did some miraculous things to bring us to this point.
Yeah.
You know, and if we remain faithful, if we stay faithful and on point with what he created our church to do, it's going to go well.
Yeah.
And so that's the excitement, is what's he going to do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in that area. There's so much opportunity in that area.
Right, right. Yeah. And so I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say that we're not doing things on our own. You know, today I did a ChatGPT search on how can my church help our community.
I use ChatGPT a lot. We're wading into waters here.
Yeah.
But I think AI can be a very useful tool if you use it as a tool. this is a rabbit trail for sure.
Right. Well, I tested the waters, those waters you're talking about first.
Yes.
I said, what is the Trinity and what is the Trinity not?
Oh, okay.
And it gave a theologically concise and precise answer. I was very impressed with that. So I said, okay, well, let's go on and me ask ChatGPT what our church can do in our community. And it gave me like 50 different things.
Okay.
I'm like, wow, here we go. Let's consider some of these.
Yeah.
You know? So anyways, just having fun out there. That's all, you know, dreaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dreaming is fun.
Yeah.
Dreaming is fun indeed. Finally, this feel, every time I ask it, it feels like a repeat of the question, but I'm always amazed at different answers and the conversations it sparks. So what advice or encouragement would you have for someone feeling the call to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God?
Don't short circuit your training.
Okay.
Don't try to move above and beyond the influential ministry that God has given you to do. And we see Satan is the very first person that tried to move above and beyond what he was created to do of his influence. And I think it's very easy as we're thinking about getting involved into ministries and moving along and you know, teaching a class. You know, in my previous church, there would be people outside of my class that would come to me and have questions about things. And I would say, well, why don't you go to their teacher?
Yeah.
Or why don't you go to the pastor?
Yeah.
And it's because I didn't want to overstep the bounds of the ministry that God had given me.
Yeah.
He had given me certain people to serve. And I think it starts in the home. If you serve well in your home and serve only in that form and stay humble and true to that, God's going to expand your sphere of influence or your sphere of service of others.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if you get trained during each phase of those things, I'm going to learn how to be the best husband I can be biblically.
Yeah.
I'm going to learn to be the best father that I can be. You know, and stay faithful to that. God is going to use you outside of that to serve others. And then you need to train on how to serve other people in those contexts. So don't short circuit your training and don't step out of the bounds that God has put you in currently, because you can't outserve God where he has you.
Yeah, that's awesome advice.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us today,
Aaron.
I enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah, this is a great podcast you got going on here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Mission Control. If you're interested in learning more about Launch 10X and the different ways to get involved in what God is doing here at First Baptist Melbourne, a great place to start would be visiting our website, launchme.church. Next time in Mission Control, we have Dan and Kate Carter joining us. I've joked with them that they feel like the poster children for group leadership here at First Baptist Melbourne, so I couldn't wait to sit down with them and hear more about their heart for groups ministry and how God has used those experiences in their life. We also had a chance to talk about other ways God is using them on mission right now in their life. It's a great conversation that you'll definitely want to hear. Until then, I hope you have a great week on mission with King Jesus.